Father, I thank you, Lord, for such a time as this. We know, Lord, that the word of the Lord is tried, but nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. And we thank you this morning for everyone that's here, fellowship with us. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And now, Lord, let that light shine into our hearts, even here today, to give us revelation and understanding of what the Spirit is saying to us. And may everyone receive encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to share this lesson with us. I've talked on this subject before. But as I was thinking over the last few days, well, you know, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me also that I should remind you of the word of the Lord. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, especially, you know, lately I've seen that a lot of people are going through. And it seemed like, well, God promised one thing, but it's something else that is seems to be happening. So let's talk about that for a bit. Contradictions against the word of promise. If the room tends to run long, I'll break it up into two. So I proactively name this part one. But here's where I want to start, you know, as a reminder, you know, the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 12. You know, there is a lesson even in this verse for us that, you know, you may have heard something before. Well, it's good for you to hear it again. And it's good for us who are ministers of the word to remind people from time to time. He says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, even though you know them and you are established in the present truth. But I will still remind you, he said. So sometimes that's why we do and come back to some of the things that we've talked about and remind you again. But the scripture says exactly that. You know, we remind ourselves of, you know, what the Lord has already told us and the things that we, even though we already know them, but reminders are always good. You know, he said, look, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You know, so, you know, let's put ourselves in remembrance. There are a lot of things the Lord has promised us. In fact, I see that this year, the Lord gave us some great promises. I want to talk about, first of all, what I'm calling the word of promise. The word of promise. And let's talk about that first. What is a promise? That's the first question. What is a promise? Well, if you know the answer, you can type it in the chat room for us. What's a promise? Let's see if I can engage people here today. What is a promise? I'm going to give you my own commentary about promise in a bit, but if you have any answer to the question, you can put it in the chat room. Dictionary says, at least one dictionary, you know, says a promise, if you look at it as a noun, it could be a noun, it can also be a verb. If you look at it as a noun, one dictionary definition says, well, it can be a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. I like that last part. A particular thing will happen. It's just a regular dictionary definition. It's not even a religious dictionary of sorts, not a Bible dictionary, it's just a dictionary. You know, so you can also use it as a verb, you know, but let's consider it as a noun, word of promise. you know, something that the Lord declared to us, gave us assurance that He will do, or that He will cause that thing to happen in our lives. So that will be a promise. Now, my commentary about promise is this. A promise is not a promise unless you know that it was promised, and also know what was promised. So, let's think about that. You know, it's not a promise unto you until you know that it was promised. I mean, somebody can make a declaration. If you don't know about it, even if it was a promise for you, if you didn't know it, then it's not a promise to you. And, you know, if you don't know what exactly was promised, then it's not a promise either. You know, so it might just have been some random statement that somebody made. For it to be a promise to you, then you need to know what was promised. That's right. You know, so it's not a promise. I repeat that. It's not a promise unless you know that it was promised. If you didn't know that it was said, then it's not a promise. And if you don't know what was said, then it's not a promise either. So that's our first commentary about the word of promise today. Second commentary about the word of promise is that, you know, God's promises, you know, we're talking about the word of promise, which is, you know, from God. You know, the word of promise can come unto us, you know, from different sources. Now, remember, we just concluded a series on how the Lord speaks to us. And we talked about a dozen or more ways in which the Lord can speak to us. And I want to consider specifically, you know, if the Lord were to give you a word in through any of the ways that we already said that He could speak to you. But in particular, I want to talk about the word of promise that the Lord has given us on this platform. You know, I mean, there are times that the Lord has spoken certain things to us, particularly this year. I'll remind you of some of them. But this word of promise, there's a scripture that gives us context for that. In the book of Romans, chapter 9, I love that Romans chapter 9. It brings out a lot of things. But let's just read a few verses. We won't read all of it because it's kind of relatively long. But it says from verse 9, "This is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son." You know, that was the word of promise in that particular case that God spoke concerning that particular situation. You know, however, you know, when God speaks like that, we want to let you know that it's not only the person to whom God spoke the thing that heard it, the devils also hear it. You know, and, you know, if they have anything to say about that, they're going to try, you know, and your mind also may conflict. So we're going to talk about that. So the word of promise is something that God has spoken that He will do or that will come to pass for you. Something good, perhaps something that we are believing God for, and He give us a word. It can come from the Bible, of course. I mean, that, you know, hundreds and hundreds of promises in this Bible concerning anything. Yesterday or the other day, I forget what day it was, we did the faith lab. I think it was 2 days ago, the faith lab of how you find the promise of God and use it for what you are believing God for. You know, lots and lots of promises in the Bible. You know, then, you know, so that's one source from which you can get the word of promise. Another source, which is actually more what I want to concentrate on today, is when God gives a specific word, you know, to you or to us as a group concerning what he would be doing for us, or something that he will bring to cause to pass. Now, on this platform, this year alone, I mean, let alone if we go back a couple of years, there's a lot of promises. The promises of emerging, the promise of the quantum leap, the promise of the prophetic repairs, the promise of the epic story. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff. You know, so I was thinking, I said, Lord, I mean, promised a lot of things, but yet, you know, it's like people are on the opposite end of what you promised. People are going through instead of them enjoying these blessings. So in most cases, or several cases, we're seeing, you know, a lot of difficulties. Yet the Lord has said these things. You know, so as I was thinking about it, well, Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance that I have preached this message before. And said, well, okay, maybe it's a good reminder. And I want to call this out for us. So specific words that are given to us by the Holy Spirit. As a group, you can get it on a platform such as this. Personally, you can get it in prayer or during worship. You know, you can also, you know, we already spoke about it, you can get it when you read the Word of God. So there's different ways that this word of promise can come to you. You know, but like I said, number one, you got to know that it was promised. So that's the search the scriptures part of it when we're doing the faith lab. If you don't know what was promised, then you really have nothing to act upon. You know, so that's something to realize about the promise. The second thing is that, you know, apart from knowing where the source, I mean, knowing how the promise can come to you, now that you know, you've heard the promise, you heard it from the Holy Ghost, you read it in the Bible or whatever, the Lord gave you a prophetic word, you know, by dream, vision, or however you have it. The next thing you must know is that that promise will not do you any good, even though you know it. See, it wouldn't do you any good if you didn't know it. But now you've known it. It still wouldn't do you any good, though you know it, if it is not mixed with faith in your heart. Now, let's read a few scriptures about that. Now, this is where we begin to talk about the contradictions. Now, God himself is faithful. Remember, we also recently covered the unchangeableness and the immutability of the character of God. And some of those traits were God is faithful. You know, when he speaks his word, it's not today up and down, yo-yo kind of thing. There's no variableness, no shadow of turning. If he says it, he'll back it up, you know, and he has the capacity to back it up anyway. You know, so now, but if it is not mixed with faith in our hearts, and that can be a problem. You know, so I'm going to talk more in a bit about God's faithfulness, but let me tell you why it is important that the promise of God must be mixed with faith in our hearts. And that faith must be based upon God's faithfulness. So, but first of all, let's see some scriptures that admonish us and give us examples of people in the past that, you know, sometimes they heard the word of God and sometimes, you know, it didn't quite, you know, mix with faith in their hearts. You know, so we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Let's read a couple of verses. Verse 2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them," those guys in the past. "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Now, so that tells us that even though they heard it, God was saying, well, first of all, you got to know that what was promised. Well, they knew what was promised, but it wasn't mixed with faith in their heart, so it still didn't profit them anything, you know. And then you jump here to verse 6 of the same Hebrews 4, and you say, well, these people we know could not enter into the rest that God promised them. But now he says, well, seeing therefore it remained that some must enter in, because those to whom first it was promised did not enter in because of unbelief. So now we see an insight into two things, which are really the same. If you don't have faith in the promise or confidence in the person that promised it, it may not help you. Number two, unbelief, it's really kind of the same thing. So their unbelief, you know, their unbelief was a blocker. It actually prevented them from entering into the promise. You know, so keep that in your mind as we go through this lesson. Now, let's talk about another example that God gave us in the scriptures concerning when God promised something and actually started to do something, but then unbelief, what he did to it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's consider the first four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and see what the scripture is telling us. And it's a story about the children of Israel. A lot of things about the children of Israel in this Bible. From verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the Red Sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You know what I mean? They experienced all these great things from the Lord. You know, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. God gave them manna from heaven. And they all even drank of the spiritual rock. You know, and that rock which followed them, we're told, was Christ. Christ was way there with them, way back in the Old Testament. Christ was there. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. I mean, you would have thought, look, God was the one that promised to get these people out of their bondage and their slavery and take them to the land of promise. That alone should be sufficient, you know, to carry them there, whether the people believed it or not. But that's not how it works. That's not how it works. You know, signing the promises of God, in this lesson today, we will see the thing that keeps the promise alive. And we will see the things that block the promise. There are promise blockers and there are promise helpers. And so we're going to consider more so the promise blockers today, which I call contradictions against the word of promise. Now, with many of them, we're told God was not well pleased and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were for our examples, I told. He said in verse 6, now these things are for our examples. We should not do the same things that they also did. Well, what things? Well, let's look at the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 5. The only one chapter in the book of Jude. Well, let's take a look at it. Verse 5 of the book of Jude. Again, talking about putting you in remembrance. I will therefore put you in remembrance, even though you once knew this, just like we started at the beginning. This is not anything you've not heard before, but we need to put you in remembrance. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. I mean, are you kidding me? How can you save the people out of the land of Egypt with a promise to take them to the promised land, and then along the way destroy them? So this is a very serious lesson. The Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward, before they got to the land of promise, actually destroyed them that believed not. So we can see here a serious promise blocker, which is unbelief. We'll talk about a few more things in this lesson. So let's see. You know, I want to show you that God is faithful over his word. And but sometimes God will allow situations to challenge that word as part of, and it's just part of the things that the scripture says, every son that God receives, he tests. You know, he tests, even the word of the Lord itself is tried. I mean, God put that into place. You know, there's a scripture here in Psalm 18 and verse 30 that tells us that the word of the Lord is tried. And I want to explain that in a minute. I mean, when God has spoken, Psalm 33 tells us, you know, he speaks and it is done. He commands and it stands fast. Then how in the world, what does it mean now that his word is tried? I mean, you already spoke it and you're going to watch over it anyway. And what do you mean by it's tried? You know, that's what we're going to bring out here in a minute. The word of the Lord is tried. First of all, here is a reference for you on that. As for God, his way is perfect. Psalm 18 and verse 30. The word of the Lord is tried. Now, tried here could mean any number of things. It could mean tried, like you put gold through the fire. It's tried with the fire to purify it. Yeah, that's the real meaning here, that it can stand the test of time. That's what it means. However, you can read it another way, and it can mean, well, you know, it'll put to the test, you know, and so forth. Now, from the perspective of the word of promise itself, the word of God will sustain itself. You know, once it's spoken, that's it. It has the capacity within itself to sustain itself. That's the nature of the word of God, because it carries God's essence, you know, that very word. Sustain itself. It's what is spoken. And we'll see in a minute how the Lord describes that through some scriptures. You know, once his word is spoken, that's it. You know, but in the realm in which the word of God lands, you know, we know it is settled in heaven, right? Psalm 119, you know, tells us that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. But, you know, when the word of God is revealed or released to us in this realm, well, it may or may not be settled. So, you know, this lesson will reveal to us reasons why it may not be settled. Now, we read in Psalm 119, verse 89, that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I wish this scripture had said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven and settled in the earth and settled in everybody's heart. But it didn't say that. It is settled in heaven. There are certain things that may make it not to be settled upon the earth. And we're going to look at those things. Remember, the word of the Lord is tried. And the word of the Lord can also try the word of promise. You know, you say, what are you talking about? Well, here is a situation where you've received the promise and God is, you know, and check it out to see whether, you know, you're going to hang in there. Even if things look like they're not going the right way, are you going to hang in there? You know, believe God. So that's the thing about the word of God being tried, the word of promise, and so forth. We're going to look at some examples in the scriptures. Psalm 105 verse 19 tells us that it was telling us about the story of Joseph, and some of the things that he went through. God promised him some stuff by dream. You know, was how, you know, the word came to him of what he was going to be. But, there were a lot of things that happened along the way before he could get there. So, you know, if you read this Psalm 105, you know, he was paring down the story of the children of Israel and so forth. So, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. Number 16, he break the whole half staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant whose feet they hurt with feathers. Now, you know the story of Joseph. He was laid in Nile until the time that this word came. The word of the Lord tried him. See, you might say, well, all that stuff that he was going through could be the word of the Lord trying him. And that word of promise must be tried. You see whether you're going to stand right there and believe it till the end, no matter what's happening. And, that obviously was the story of Joseph. God promised him greatness through his dreams, but greatness was the last thing, the farthest thing away from what he experienced. He got into all kinds of difficulties and all kinds of problems. It almost seemed as if, the moment he opened his mouth and talked about the dreams, the devil started to plot against those things, on the moment that he said it, brothers started to hate him, plotting against him. And, they even said, we'll see what will become of your dreams now. Because we're going to bump you off. They tried all kinds of things. All the ones that ganged up against him, which are called would-be destiny destroyers. But among them also, God raised up destiny helpers. There was one here and there. They say, well, don't kill him. Do this and do that. And so on. So everything was happening to him. And even, there were what I call, unwilling destiny helpers in his story. They didn't know that they were helping to push him towards that greatness that God promised. They thought they were actually going to destroy it. We'll see what will become of your dreams now, they thought. But all their actions pushed him closer and closer and closer. And everything that happened to him, eventually put him in a situation where he would have an opportunity at the right time to stand before Pharaoh, which led to his greatness and his promotion. But you see all of that. But there was a lot of testings and trials that would try to contradict. Imagine when he was first thrown into the pit. You could imagine the contradictions that would come to him in his mind. Even he was hearing the taunting voices of his brothers. Dreamer, huh? Well, we'll see about that. You're going to die in that pit. The devil would echo those things in his mind. As time is passing, as he's staying in that pit, he's thinking about it. Devil is telling him, see, there's no help coming for you. You're going to die in this pit. Even when they brought him out of the pit, there's a glimmer of hope for a minute. And he thought, okay, they put me out of the pit. Now maybe everything is cool. No, they put him in the hands of a band of Ishmaelites that are going to carry me away to who knows where. At least in his mind, he didn't know where he was going. And then, so the whole time, the devil is whispering to him, you're going to be greater than your brothers, huh? You don't even know where you're going to end up. You might even die before this caravan gets to anywhere it's going. All kinds of things. Contradictions in his mind. The devil will bring all these things. And then all the other things that happened to him along the way, they were all contradictions against the word of promise. Now, this is an example of external forces that bring contradiction against the word of promise. These were external to him. So that's one avenue by which contradictions to the word of promise can come. There are other ways too. But before I do that, let me talk about God's faithfulness. Because it is God's faithfulness that is on attack. That's what it means by the word of God is tried also. It is God's faithfulness that the devil will challenge and work on our mind when things are going the opposite of what God promised. Now, the series that we just recently concluded in that series, we talk about God saying that he will not alter the thing that's gone out of his mouth, his faithfulness. Psalm 89 and verse 34. I will not alter the thing that's gone out of my mouth. You know, we talk about God is not, you know, God is not a man that he should lie, the son of man that he should repent, you know, all those scriptures. The Lord said he will watch over his word to fulfill it. We talk about all that. Here are some good scriptures about God watching over his word to fulfill it. Jeremiah 1 and 12, God said, my zeal, you know, the zeal of the Lord will perform it, the word that he has spoken, his own zeal. I mean, God doesn't need any helper. You know, it's good for it. You know, you didn't need any help when he created the heaven and earth, and he certainly doesn't need any help now. Do it all by himself. You know, and in many scriptures, the Lord said, I alone, by myself, stretched out the heavens. You know, and even the heavens has a curtain to dwell on. You know, and all these things. I did it all by myself, meaning I didn't need any help then. I don't need any help now. And in Isaiah 55, he tells us about his word. That look, when he speaks this word, it will not return void. He will watch over it. And, it will come to pass. And it will do the thing whereunto he sent it. And it will accomplish its purpose and so on. And do his pleasure. All these things that the Lord told us in the scriptures. We covered these in the last series. You know, but let's read this particular one here in Isaiah 55, you know, verse 9. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, you know, higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Then he goes on to say, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, even so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Praise the Lord. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So, you know, that's God's promise. And we talked about his faithfulness, you know, to back up his promise. Now, God is not a yo-yo on his promise. We have settled that in the last series. And he's not a man that he should lie. You know, we settled that as well. What he has promised, he will do. Numbers 29 and verse 19. He's not a man, and that he should lie. He's not the son of man, you know, that he should repent. You know, what he has promised, he will do. Now, however, there are some things that may change that. And that's what I want to talk about today. The other verse that I gave you last time in this series about God's faithfulness is found in 1 Samuel 15:29. Between these two verses, 1 Samuel 15:29 and Numbers 23 and 19, and also, you know, other scriptures like this Isaiah we just read and Jeremiah 1:12. Between all of these scriptures, we establish the fact that God's word is forever settled. When he said it, just like Psalm 119, it's settled. He would do it. What if watch over it and so forth. However, you know, unfortunately, despite all of that assurance that we have concerning the word of God, there are certain things that may change that. And that's what we want to talk about here today. I call them contradictions that might arise against the word of God. Now, first of all, let us realize that these contradictions can come in many ways. External forces can even come through voices. You know, there's voice in everything. Situations can speak to us. We talked about that when we talk about even the ways God speaks to us. And people can speak to you too. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10, we learn that there are all kinds of voices. I mean, you know, Paul said, well, there's all kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. You know, there's all different kinds of voices. Well, let's look at some of these voices. You know. And let's examine particularly, first, the negative voices. So, what are some negative or some kinds of, I mean, negative kinds of voices? Well, there is the voice of fear. There is the voice of unbelief. There is the voice of discouragement. And one that is really very subtle is called the voice of reason. I call this a, you know, my own commentary on these voices. You know, voice of fear. Well, fear, you know, we've seen in many scriptures, you know, that Jesus always said, fear not, to his disciples and to people. Fear not, because he knew that once that fear gets in there, you know, it's going to destroy any, you know, ounce of faith that you have left. It will just destroy it. And fear is terrible. And the devil knows how to use it. And fear actually has torment. It's not good. You know, but Jesus always said, fear not. Many examples of fear. Now, some of these negative voices, they walk together. They don't walk in isolation. Devils don't walk in isolation. You know, Jesus told a story of a man, you know, after he's delivered of an evil spirit. You know, so what? When the evil spirit is gone out of a man, he goes through dry places, and if he finds no rest, he comes back. He sees the place is garnished and clean and empty, and he goes and brings seven more wicked spirits than himself. And the end of that man's state, the latter state, is worse than the first. So, devils like to do that. Same with all these fear, unbelief, and all these things. They work together, not in isolation. In the same story where we see fear, we also see unbelief. In the same story where we see unbelief, we also see reason. You know, in the same story, we also see discouragement and so on. Now, let's look at some of these stories in the Bible where God said one thing and then certain voices or elements rose against that thing. Now, like I said, fear can speak. Unbelief can speak. They have voices. Discouragement can speak. And they speak louder sometimes than the still small voice. You know? But what we got to do is figure out. I will talk about some antidotes for these things later. But first, let's look at the negative stuff. You know, that can contradict or try. And if they try, they might succeed if you don't know the antidotes, the proper antidotes. To contradict the word of promise. The word of promise is given. You know, the Lord said you will emerge. That's a word of promise. The Lord said you will experience a quantum leap. That's a word of promise. The Lord said I will bring you into an experience this year of the prophetic repairs. There's a lot of things. It was an acronym that he said he would do. And he also said, well, your epic story is starting. I mean, there's a lot of things the Lord has told us. Some people are actually experiencing it, but others, they're still in the wilderness. So, I'm going to try to expose some of the walkings while you are in the wilderness, what the enemy is trying to pull over you, and so forth. You got to be wise. We will also bring out some word of caution here. Now, so, these things are illustrated in some stories in the Bible. There's one popular story that I like a lot, and I've spoken of it dozens of times on this platform. But it goes with this lesson. I'll speak on it again. Remember, it's a reminder. I would not cease to remind you of these things, you know, like scripture said. The lesson in Mark chapter 4. You can read it from verses 35 to 40. I will not read it. Just tell the story because you know it already. Heard it many times. You yourself have read it yourself. where Jesus said to his disciples, let us pass over to the other side. Now, the declaration that Jesus made carried, it was a subtle message, but it also carried a promise of going over to the other side. That's the word he spoke. Now, as soon as Jesus released that word, there will be contradictions that will come against that word. They will come in form of the tempest. They will come in form of storms that will rise up against the boat to make sure that that word of let's go to the other side doesn't come to pass. Now, but we see the behavior of some people in this drama and some elements in the drama. The first element is Jesus, the word that Jesus spoke as a word of promise or the word of declaration. Let's go over to the other side. Could have been a declaration like you will experience, you know, an epic story. You will experience prophetic repairs. You will have a quantum leap, this and that, whatever. He spoke that word. And as soon as he said it, all hell breaks loose. If you want to call it that. The storm comes against the boat. The tempest and everything. Rock the boat back and forth. Slammed against it. Waters rushing into the boat. You know, make sure that they perish and not get to the other side, like Jesus said. So, those are contradictions against the word of promise. The moment that Jesus released that word, all hell broke loose. You know, now, that's a powerful story. Now, there were some negative forces that I also revealed in that story, not just the elements from storm and this and that. There were some negative voices. The voice of panic, which Jesus called fear, and he also called it unbelief. When they ran to Jesus and said, Master, they woke him up. Don't you care that we perish? That's like many of us today. You don't care that you won't perish. He knows that, but he already spoke the word, so he can go to sleep. The word will sustain itself. End of story. You know, but we panic when we are not prayed up like Jesus. And Jesus was prayed up. Jesus knew the word. He knew the word of promise. He knew the storm was coming. But he also knew the storm cannot prevail against the word that was spoken. So, I'm going to just sleep and ride out the storm. It's cool. Storm can do its thing. Blow the boat up and down. But the boat is getting to the other side. That's what he said. Now, the disciples, on the other hand, they did not discern that. So they panicked. And then in their panic, all kinds of things set in. You know, fear, you know. Jesus said, why are you so fearful? How come it is you have no faith? So we see fear was working, panic was working, unbelief was working, all together there. And Jesus rebuked the storm, rebuked the disciples as well. And they eventually got to land safely, just like he said in the beginning. Now, the path between the word of promise and the realization of that word of promise can encounter many contradictions. That's what this lesson is about. Faith can see the promise afar off, but believing through the storms and the tempest is necessary in order to get you there. You know, thank God that Jesus was in the boat. You know, if Jesus wasn't in the boat that day, those people might have perished. You know, but Jesus was in the boat. As long as Jesus is in the boat, that boat cannot capsize. You know, I don't care if all the storms in the world come against it. Jesus is in the boat. Now, the story or the question, though, is Jesus in your boat? Are you trying to cross through that sea with Jesus in the boat? Or not? Now, that's the question. If Jesus is in the boat, then the boat is going to get to the other side. Now, Jesus being the boat does not guarantee that there will be no storms or tempests. Again, as a matter of fact, Jesus being in the boat might attract the storms and so forth. But still, storm or no storm, The word will sustain itself. He spoke it. It doesn't matter whether there is storm or no storm. It doesn't matter whether the captain of the ship knows how to steer and navigate or not. It doesn't matter. He already spoke the word. And that word will stand fast. Praise the Lord. Now, that's a good lesson. But we see some elements, negative elements there that came against that word of promise. What about the children of Israel? Powerful story, you know, out of which later came, you know, the story of Joseph. But in the early chapters of Exodus, when God sent Moses back, in Exodus chapter 5, especially, you can read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to call out a few verses. For lack of time, I won't read the whole chapter, but this is the story in that chapter, Exodus 5. Moses, he now goes back, confronts Pharaoh, there with Aaron, let my people go, etc. You know the story. And here are a few lessons out of that story. How the contradictions. Now, the promise was, I'm sending you there to go get them out of that place. I'm going to take them to the land I promised. Oh, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all these things. Land flowing with milk and honey. Well, that's a promise. Well, not so fast, the devil says. Now, every promise that God gives you, once the devil hears it, devil's response is not so fast. So, here comes Pharaoh. I mean, here comes Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh, and they declare, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. They say, who is the Lord? You know, and you let my people go. You know, and Pharaoh said, look, these people are idle. They are idle. That's why they are saying they want to go and worship the Lord. Make their situation worse. Let there be more burden laden upon them. Now, all those things happened because of the word of promise that they were trying to act upon. Now, their situation was bad already. We know that. But it got worse because of the word of promise. You know, so you can see how, because they acted upon the word, thus said the Lord, let my people go. Thus said the Lord, we'll see about that. You know, he turns around to the taskmasters, make their burdens heavier. Don't give them any straw. Don't give them anything, but don't diminish the tail of bricks. You know, and lay more burden upon them even. Because now they're telling me, you know, they want to go and worship the Lord. Let there be more burdens laid in upon them. Till this day, they're using the same tactics. You know, when you have time on your hands to come into these rooms, to go to house of worship, to attend Bible study, to do all of these things, to grow your faith, a devil will come out against you. So make sure you don't have time for those things. Like there'll be more burdens laid in upon you, have more bills to pay. You will lose your job, you all kinds of things. You know, somebody may be sick in the family, all these kind of things. You know, just to make sure that you do not have time to focus on that word of promise. You come against you with all kinds of distractions and contradictions against the word. Now, so their situation actually got worse in the process of it getting better. And they hated Moses for it. You read the whole chapter. They went to Moses and said, look, you know, our situation was bad enough, but now you have made it worse. And even Moses went to the Lord at the end of that chapter and said, why are you doing this to me and these people? You know, now their situation is worse. See, now those are contradictions against the word of promise. The word of promise is go there and get them out of there. And I'm taking them to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. But before they get to that land that's flowing with milk and honey, if at all they get there, all kinds of things will happen along the way. The first thing is, a devil is going to try to frustrate that word, make your situation worse. So the moment God said, I'm going to do this great thing for you in 2025, now all hell breaks loose around you. All kinds of things are happening to make it look even worse than what God said. And you will not be the first. That's why I'm telling you these stories. You won't be the first that received the word of promise, and then all of a sudden all kinds of things come up against that word. Now, these are external forces now coming against you. the people that are trying to destroy your dreams, if you are Joseph, the storm that's coming against you, if you are the disciples, you know, the Pharaoh and the taskmasters that are making things worse, if you are the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, and so on and so forth. Now, external forces coming against them like that. Then the worst part of it is the effect of those things can actually make people to begin to grumble and doubt the word of God. It happened to the children of Israel. The hardships they felt and they experienced along the way, even after by a strong hand, after all those signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, all the things that Moses had to throw down there before the Pharaoh finally caved in. Of course, God said, I will harden his heart. He knew that. You know, any other difficulty they experienced along the way, all kinds of contradictions came out of it. We were better off in Egypt, they said. Were you really better off in Egypt? See, they had soon forgotten. Were there no graves in Egypt? Should have left us there. You know, at least if we die there, we'll be buried. And now we're going to, our carcasses will fall in this wilderness, our children and so forth. But say, really? You know, so let's see what I call, this is the worst thing that can happen to the word of promise. It's the absolute worst thing that can happen. And I call it the breach of promise. Now remember, God is faithful. Once he said it, he will watch over it and he will bring it to pass. But I'm telling you something that will break his promise right here. You know, that promise will be breached. Now God will not be breaching it, but it will breach by many things can breach it. So I'm going to tell you this story, which you already also know, but we told it a few times here. The children of Israel, in their journeys to try to get to the promised land, you know everything. At one point, Moses said, the Lord instructed him. So he picked some spies, one out of each tribe, 12 of them, he sent to go check it out. Come tell them. There were 10 that came with an evil report. Only 2, Joshua and Caleb, came with a good report. You know the story. But if you read those chapters 13 and 14 of the book of Numbers, and in particular, Numbers chapter 14, I'm going to read just a few verses, because it's a long story. I'm not going to read it all. Just a few verses. You will see how there was a breach of promise. The word of promise, which God is faithful to keep, how it was breached. It's a breach of God's promise. When God has promised, it will be fulfilled. Nothing can break it. Well, that's what you think. There's a lot of things that can break it. Those are the things that we're talking about in these lessons. The contradictions that will come against the word of God. And if you let them, they might even succeed. Now, unbelief is a great one. In this story, in Numbers 14, verses 22 to 24, in order for you to get the benefit of this full story, or the full benefit of this story, rather, you have to read Numbers 13 and 14 through. But let's just quickly look at a couple of verses here. Numbers 14 and verse 22. Now, he says, this is what the Lord finally said, because all those people did not believe his word. In fact, when the 10 returned to give a negative report, part of their negative report was, you know, we searched the land quite all right. You know, we even brought some fruit of the land. However, you know, we saw giants there. And these giants were so big, you know, they terrified us. We looked like grasshoppers compared to the giants. Moreover, you know, the land is swallowing up its inhabitants. I mean, they begin to contradict themselves. Swallow up the inhabitants, the giants are there. I mean, which one is it? You know? And then they say, we can't do that. We can't go up against them. And these people will, you know, I mean, they're too strong for us. We can't take the place. Now, remember, the Lord said, I'm going to give you the place. Well, they said, we can't do it. Now, because they said, we can't do it, well, the Lord will eventually tell them, well, you will not do it then. So, let's see what the Lord said. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, see, we read that in Jude before and in 1 Corinthians 10, how they saw all those miracles and God did all those things and yet later he destroyed them. This is the story here. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and now have tempted me these 10 times, every time grumbling against me and so on, and they have not hearkened to my voice. Now here's what the Lord now said. Now, this is the same God that said, I will not break my word. Now said, surely they shall not see the land, which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see. But God qualified it. See, it's those that provoked him that will not see it. So the promise, now that you know it, and it's given, you know, if it's not mixed with faith, you will not receive it. It's not universal. There's no promise of God that's just universal. Each person must apply. There is an application of faith with that promise to make it effective in that individual's life. The one that provoked the Lord by not sanctifying the word of promise in their hearts, they'll get nothing. The word of promise will still stand. But for them, it will not stand. They will not have anything. You know, so he said, look, my servant Caleb, Joshua, all these people, and these two of them, they will get in there, but the rest of them, no, you know. And so this was a terrible thing. Let's read verses 30 to 34. There's a lot of things that God told them in this place. In fact, he was angry. And he told a lot of things. And he said to Moses and Aaron, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard their murmurings, which they murmur against me. Now, I want you to say unto them, he said, you know, say unto them, this is verse 28. As surely as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, all those negative things she spoke in my ears, that we can't do it, we can't go there, we can't take the land, we will die in the wilderness and so forth. Why'd you bring us here? All those negative things you've spoken in my ears, even so shall they be. You said you can't do it, then you will not do it. You said you are like grasshoppers, then you will be like grasshoppers. You said you cannot go up and take the land, then you will not go up and take the land. You said your children, you know, we die. I mean, God said, look, all these negative things you said will come upon you because you have not sanctified my word. But all the young people who were just following, you know, them will I bring, but the rest of you, no, I will destroy you. So you will not doubt, he said, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwelling. Now he sweared. God didn't even need to swear, but he swore. And that means you can take it to heaven. It's forever settled. But yet it did not happen to some of them. Why? Because of unbelief. He said, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in this wilderness for 40 years, and you shall bear your own whoredoms, you know, and so forth, and until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. This is what we read in Jude and in 1 Corinthians 10. Now, after the number of the days in which you search the land, you know, and so forth, you know, 40 days, well, each day for a year, 40 years, you're going to wander this, you know, wilderness, bear your iniquities for 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Now, this is the most terrible thing that can happen to the word of promise, can be breached because of unbelief. Even though God stands behind it, I told you the other day, I said God binds himself with an oath when he made a promise. We read that in Hebrews. He didn't have to swear, but he swore. He said, surely, blessing, I will bless you by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. He bound himself with an oath to the promise. And the same thing here. Bound himself to the oath. Said, I swear. Well, it did not happen to them, even God's word. So, you know, so we see how dangerous this thing can be when we don't believe and sanctify the word of God. Just because we're experiencing problems right after God promised great things, you need to be careful, you know, because it might end up with a breach. I'm going to tell you one more story. I'm going to leave it there for today. I'll come back and finish this up tomorrow by the grace of God. Now, the unbelief of any particular person, later on I'll tell you some more stories about, you know, we're speaking of unbelief and fear. We'll speak more about discouragement. Well, discouragement is in this story too, because, I mean, we can't go. I mean, these people, they're big, they're giants, you know, and so forth. They were discouraged. All right, you know, but we'll talk about the voice of reason and some other things tomorrow. But here is the lesson, one lesson that I want to quickly end here today. You know, now, unbelief of any one person or any group of persons cannot make the word of God of none effect. In general. I mean, Romans chapter 3 verse 3 tells us that. Say, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the word of God of none effect? God forbid. However, it will be made of none effect in that person's life that did not believe. Not the word of God by itself will still work, but it won't work for those people, the Lord said, that did not believe me. It's not going to work for them. So, I'll tell you a couple of stories about that in greater detail tomorrow. And how that even unbelief, because of circumstances that come against our natural circumstances that you're looking at to make you think this thing is almost impossible, what God promised, how those unbelief, how that kind of unbelief can cause unnecessary pain. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, you know. But here is some homework for you to do. Some additional homework. I already gave you some scriptures today that you can read. Here's some additional. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 7. There's a story there. I'll tell it to you tomorrow. There's another story in Luke chapter 1. That one is about Zacharias. I'll tell it to you tomorrow. In these stories that I alluded to here, the word of promise came, somebody doubted it, and they paid dearly for it. You know, just like the children of Israel, their own punishment was different, but in one case, the man doubted the word of God and said, hey, even if the Lord were to open the windows of heaven, can this thing be that the man of God just said? And the man of God turned to him and said, really? You're going to now challenge the word of the king of the universe? I said, well, fine. It will happen, but you will not taste of it. And it was just like that. We'll see that story tomorrow. In another story, there's a man who was a priest who was supposed to know better. So like some of you who are priests and kings, you're supposed to know better, but you challenge the word or you allow the contradictions and things that you are going through to make you doubt that word just because you are going through these things. Well, be careful now. You might suffer some unnecessary pain. Zacharias suffered some unnecessary pain because he doubted the word that the angel spoke to him. Talk about that again some tomorrow. Let me summarize here what we have talked about today. This lesson is called Contradictions Against the Word of Promise, Part 1. Part 2 tomorrow, by the grace of God. In this Part 1, we defined what a promise is, right? We've also called out, you know, certain things that we must understand about promises. First, it's not a promise to you unless you know that it was promised. It's just vain words that somebody randomly said, unless you knew it. Number two, You must not even know what was said. And then again, number three, we talk about, even if you know it and know what was said, if it's not mixed with faith, it's not going to profit you. The word will still happen. You might just be the one that missed out. And we've seen some of these stories. Now, we've seen cases where there are external forces. The moment the devil hears the word of promise, just like you heard it, the devil also heard it. Now, all kinds of things come against that word. Now, what should be your response? What should be our answer of faith? We're going to talk about that tomorrow. And we've seen people that suffered tremendous loss. You know, something that God promised and guaranteed by an oath. And yet, they did not achieve it. Why? Because of unbelief. And it caused a breach of promise. We've seen where Jesus was scolding and rebuking the disciples because he expected better. I think the Lord is scolding and rebuking some of us because he expects better. That's because you are going through now. You've drifted. You've drifted from your, you know, response of faith. Your response of faith, we talked about that the other day. Isaiah 50 and verse 7 says, look, because the Lord has promised it to me, I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to set my face like a flint. I'm not going to be moved. I will not be ashamed. I know the word of God, and so on and so forth. You know, he stood right there with it, no matter what it took. Well, some of us, we've allowed our minds to be shaken because of the things that we're going through. And the Lord might just be rebuking you like he rebuked the disciples. Why is it that you are so fearful? How come it is you have no faith? Just a little storm? He said, but Lord, it's not a little storm. It's about to kill us. And Lord said, how long will I be with these people? You can take care of the storm or even ignore the storm. It's okay. You get to where I said you'll get to. Well, they couldn't see it. So he had to rebuke the storm. He wasn't going to rebuke the storm. Had no intention whatsoever of rebuking the storm. He was just going to sleep through the storm. But to help his disciples who were panicking, he rebuked the storm. You know? But he rebuked the disciples also. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are more contradictions that we will talk about tomorrow. And then after that, contradiction against the word of promise, we should talk about how to, what's the antidote to some of these contradictions. And where is this lesson going? Well, the lesson, where it is going, here is the end that we are trying to achieve out of this lesson, is that, look, don't give up, don't give in to fear, to whatever. Even external forces can say, we can't, you can't do that. Yeah, and this and this and this, whatever it is. Your own voices might say the same. We'll look at a few more stories tomorrow. And God bless you as you ponder upon this lesson. Do the homework, read some of those verses that we gave out. And by God's grace, we'll come in tomorrow to hear the conclusion of the matter. Hopefully we can conclude the short lesson tomorrow in part two. I'm going to pray over the room, then I'll open it up for comments and reactions. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, which we have heard today. We give you praise and give you glory. It is well with us. According to your word, it shall be well with us. But we must believe. Help us, Lord, to be believing. One man said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. It's one way to do it. Lord, I pray that you will help us. Many of us stagger at the promise of God because of the storms that we face. Lord, we pray that you help us to regain our confidence, knowing that he is faithful who has promised, and not allow ourselves to be distracted by the contradictions that will rise up against the word of promise. Now I pray a blessing upon everybody that's in the room, not only through pondering and meditating on this lesson, but even more so as you begin to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying and applying it to your situation. A blessing come unto you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.